Well, good morning. You're listening to the Marketplace Witness Show, and I'm John Beener, and we're excited to have you here on a beautiful Saturday morning. And we've got a special presentation for you to hear today. Not a normal interview. It's a presentation that I made to the Jacksonville Business Fellowship about a new book that I've written called The Untold Secret That Creates True Wealth. And it's very interesting. I think most people don't understand what the secret to the kingdom of God is, but that's what the book shares. And it's the most, I believe, it's the most powerful illustration that Jesus used in the whole New Testament, because it's the only parable that's repeated three times in its entirety by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so I'm talking before this group on a Friday morning. And again, we're sponsored by Wise Counsel. Wise Counsel works with Christian entrepreneurs to help them grow their company and be more effective in all that they do, and try to do it from a biblical basis. And so we're excited that you've joined us here this morning, and we're going to get right into my presentation, and hope that you are illuminated by it and you would be able to get the book as well, because it's going to be on Amazon. And available that way, as well as available in paperback soon after that. So anyway, join in with us and take a listen to The Untold Secret That Creates True Wealth. Well, thanks for having me here this morning. It's exciting to be with you again. This is the third book that I've written called The Untold Secret That Creates True Wealth. How many would like to have true wealth? It's deeper than money and fame and all those kind of riches. But it's definitely a calling on my life by God to help educate people, including myself. I am the number one student. In fact, my job is to be a student teacher. Everybody agrees with that? Amen, right? Yes. Student teacher. But this book, The Untold Secret That Creates True Wealth, is a book that I've been working on for years with a guy named Brig Hart, who was famous in his Amway days and actually built a company called Monavie, sold that off, doing an organization called USA Association. But the theme around it is that, again, the untold secret is in it's the most repeated parable in the New Testament. It's called The Secret to the Kingdom of God. Everybody tell it, what's the rest of it? But it's the parable of the sower. Everybody knows what the parable of the sower is, right? That's easy to understand. We've been there, done that, heard that before. But if Matthew, Mark, and Luke can write about it in practically the same words and the same form, it's got to be important. It's the most, again, most repeated parable in the whole New Testament. So it's profound. So the secret of the kingdom of God is found in the parable of the sower. So what does he say there? It's really about your soul that really what Christ is addressing here. And that our soul is our mind, our intellect, our personality, our will, and our emotions. So write that down at the top. Openness for your soul, your mind, your intellect, your personality, and your will, and your emotions. And our spirit is all connected to Christ as we surrender to Christ and submit to Him, to follow Him and be open to His leading. And the Holy Spirit then comes in and interacts with us and starts to lead us and work on, unfortunately, He's got to work on the soul too. And so it's a process, obviously. So what happens is Christ is saying that the seed, which is actually the visions, the unctions, and the leading of God, the seed is planted in the soul. And the soul is our soil. And so here's what happens is that we have a beaten down path sometimes over some circumstances or some situations in our soul, our mind, or beaten down. Oh, I can't do that. In other words, God plants a seed. That's what happened to me when He told me to write the first book that I did. And I said, God, I can't write a book, a chapter maybe. Here I'm in the third book. You know, I'm a slow learner too. Again, being a student teacher, I'm saying, I can't do that, God. But what I finally did after a year and a half and hiring ghostwriters, giving up and said, God, I'll write the thing if you'll work through me and use me. That's what he wanted to do in the first place, right? Well, I was hard-headed, still doing the battle, and I was already 13, 14 years committed to Christ in the game, but I didn't get into the Word deep enough. I wasn't really interacting with the Holy Spirit. I had tremendous witness and testimony, and people would ask me to share. So the beaten down path is about fear, doubt, the things that the enemy will say to you, and also pride. I'm too smart, I'm too intelligent, I couldn't do that, because don't you realize I make so much money, I'm, you know, that's below me, okay? That's what the worldly thinking will tell us, right? And what happens, of course, is that God has to break through that soil if we're to act on what he's trying to do. But we reject the seed in the beaten down soil most often. And then the seed is planted in rocky soil. Well, our soul is a little more open. Yeah, I guess I could try that. That's a heck of a good idea. Somebody needs to do something about that. I can open that business. Gee whiz. I got the right people in place. I got the capital, or I can get the resources together. And so what happens is it grows for a while, but then it dies off. Why does it die off? Because it doesn't have the nutrients in the soil, right? And that soil, again, is our intellect, our personality, our will, our emotions. I can't keep doing this. This is not working. I need to quit. I need to get out of that. I've been there, done that. I've started a number of businesses that did not work, you know. And while they became great training ground, actually, for me to be open to the next calling. When I got to thorny soil, my mind, my intellect, personality was more open. And so God plants seeds there. And then I can act more. But what happens is the cares of the world come against me, as Jesus talks about. And the worldly thinking, you know, well, you got to make more money to do this, you know, or you got to get out of debt here, or you got to do this. Or you've got to, again, get the right people. You've got to recruit. You've got to speak. That's not me. I can't do that. All those kind of... Even Peter, when Jesus was talking to the disciples and said, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to be gone. And Peter said, no, Jesus, no. You can't do that. And what does he say? What does he say? That's it. Satan, get behind me, because that thought, those impressions came from the enemy telling Peter to say these things, because he's in the worldly thinking of it. He's still in training, like all of us, right? And so what happens, the enemy is talking to you, you know, it's static stuff, but you're still receiving and you're still saying, I can't do this, or I couldn't do that. That's not for me. Finally, you get to good soil where you're in the potter's hands, and so you say, Lord, whatever it is, I don't know how I can do that, Lord, but you're going to have to provide a way. You're going to lead me, help me, show me. What happens is these principles apply to people whether they're committed to Christ or not. And what Brig and I do here in the book is to draw examples from the business community, because that's where we grow up and we live and we work. I work with entrepreneurs to help them grow their business from a biblical basis and a worldly basis. But the worldly's got to be in tune with the biblical base, because we do have a lot of, thank God for America, a lot of biblical principles still working, incorporated, not only in our Constitution, but our life and our fabric in our society. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so what does it say in Psalm 23? Let's say it together here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads me by quiet waters. And he does what? Restores my soul. God is working to restore your soul, to build it up, to strengthen it, to clean your thinking out, to purify your thoughts, to draw you closer to him. Now, the idea is for us to be open to him and not resistant. Let's be in the good soil. Seek to be in the good soil. And so here's Hosea. I love this scripture. I quoted it many times. My people, it says here in the NIV, are destroyed by the lack of what? Write this in. What's the key word? Knowledge. All right. And so there's the other versions that say, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. But here's the rest of this that I've never really quoted very often. It says, because you have rejected knowledge, also I reject you as my priest. God says, I'm not going to have you be one of my priests if you're going to reject my knowledge I'm trying to give you. Or the lack of openness, the fact that you won't even seek out knowledge. You won't even not only read my word, but you won't get knowledge from other people that have wisdom and knowledge and discernment. Because you have to ignore the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. Is that an amazing statement? Ignore your children. So you're setting a precedence. What are you teaching your kids? By your lack of knowledge, by your lack of interest or attentiveness to help them or to help others. Your children are going to be affected by this. They're already affected. It doesn't mean it's going to necessarily be a curse. I don't know. Maybe it is. But the point still is it's going to affect their thinking and their future. Here we go, Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of what? The world. Write that down. World. But be transformed by the what?
Renewing.
Renewing of your mind. Write that in there. Renewing of your mind. Again, we're talking about the soul. Then you will test and approve what God's will is, his good and what? Perfect, and there's another word that goes in. Pleasing, that's it, thank you. Perfect and pleasing will of God. Okay, here we go, Ephesians 1:8. I pray that the eyes of your heart, underline that, the eyes of your heart will be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which he has called you to. The light is really, Christ is the light. How many times have you heard people give a testimony? I saw Jesus, but I couldn't see him because the light was so bright. Well, God is trying to penetrate our heart, soul, mind, our intellect, personality, will with his light. The soul wounds need the light of God, the purifying aspects of God to penetrate it. Freedom reduces slavery. That's why freedom is breaking out around the world. It's not all, it's not battles and Muslims and all this kind of stuff. It's really a move of God to break free some of these nations that are have their people in bondage and slavery. You've seen how communism has fallen because God is really moving to give people opportunities to use their gifts and talent in their own nation, their own family, in their own society, in their business, their ministry, and everything they do. It's the call of God. He's bringing the world closer together. And freedom is his tool because the greatest economy in the world is still the United States. And I've heard quotes from Bill Bright at one time, this has been 20 years ago, that the America generated 60% of the economic wealth in the world and has, and still only has, 5% of the world's population. Now, that number may not be 60% anymore. It may be down to 40% because we're sending our jobs, we're sending our resources to other countries. And people, we complain about it or other people complain about it. The point of it is it's a move of God. He's spreading the gospel. He spreads the gospel through freedom for people to worship him in a free way, in a free society. So communism has fallen. China is no longer communist. They try to play the game, but they're not. They're more free enterprise in some ways than so many other countries. They're backing out of communism. So anyway, let's keep going here. The battle for the soul is, again, is the battle of Satan's doubts that he tries to place in your mind. And the soul wounds you have to overcome. The hurts, the pains, the things that have come against you through the years. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and it separates bone from marrow, soul from spirit. In Hebrew and Ephesians, you can look that up. And, of course, I pray that every morning, putting the sword of the Spirit and putting on the armor of God. I envision doing that. The point is that God has a battle for us to wage in the world and, again, be of Him, through Him, and abide in His ways. The Lord is testing you. The Lord is moving the world forward. Are you accepting his visions or are you in the leading in your soul? Are you? You're going to discuss that here in a minute. Steve Jobs, I love something he said. Do what you love and what you have a passion to do or you'll quit too soon. If you don't, in other words, you survive through the obstacles of things, going through the different soils, the beaten down, rocky soil, thorny soil, and you'll survive. Here's a guy who didn't come to Christ that we know of anyway, died not very long ago, was not what people call a Christian, but his principles of God were working through him. God was using him. God will give visions to people who are not Christians because some Christians, a lot of them, say, I can't do that. They're more under the enemy's pressure, you know what I mean, and more in fear and doubt, you know, and not willing to take the risk. Okay, but God needs people who are willing to take the risk. Joel Osteen said, and everybody loves him, your problems are not there to defeat you, but to increase you, to build you up, to make you stronger in character. What does it say in James? It says the... Consider it pure joy. That's the words I was looking for. Thank you. Consider it pure joy when you face trials and troubles. God's testing you. How faithful will you be? And I talked about this last time when Steve Paul wasn't here, but he was in a meeting at City Rescue Mission. They were asking for volunteers, and Steve's in the back, and God's nudging him, said, you need to raise your hand and volunteer for this. And Steve said, nah, I don't really want to do that. And then they asked again, and Steve raised his hand finally and said, okay, I'll do that. And they said, thank you, Steve. That's a blessing. And then the Holy Spirit says to him, thank you, Steve. You're the third one I asked to do this. We are rejecting the move and leading of God too often. And so seek wise counsel, because not all visions, again, the seed is visions, the unctions, and leading of God are not for today immediately. In fact, they may take you 10 years or 20 years to have that come to pass. But hang in there and seek him and get wise counsel. Linda Rios Brooks. How many know Linda Rios Brooks or ever heard of her? Okay, a couple of people. She ran Channel 12 here for 8 years in Jacksonville, very successful. They promoted her to Minneapolis, where she didn't really want to go. Said, that's too cold. And in her mind, that was a beaten down path to go to Minneapolis, okay? And I can understand it in some ways, but anyway. So she finally goes up there, and she starts teaching a Bible study while she's managing the station, doing this in the evening. And one of the local rags came and covered her, and wrote an article about her and said that this gal is loony and doing this Bible study and even praying in tongues and things like that. And so it got then picked up by the main newspaper in Minneapolis. And so they wrote about it, blew it up even further. And, of course, the corporate people in Washington, D.C., where Gannett's headquartered, came to her and had a visit with her and said, hey, here's the story. You can either give up that Bible study or you can resign. Which would you prefer to do? So what would she rather do? And she said, I'll resign. Now, they were talking about $200,000-$300,000 job, huh? That's not that easy to give up. But she resigned, and she spent a year in her basement complaining, crying out to God, saying, what happened, Lord? I thought I was on your path. What's going on here? And some people had come to her a couple of times and said, well, hey, we've got this little cable television station over here that's gone on bankruptcy, and we'd like to buy it, and would you help us? And she said, you don't realize I'm a professional. I'm a professional. I'm a network person. I don't do this little cable stuff. You know what I mean? The small potatoes things. That's not what I do. And so they kept coming to her anyway and said, well, can you come look at the property and at least consult with us? And finally she says, okay. What's happened is she's in the beaten down pride path of rejecting God's visions and ideas, but God's allowing her to stew and get lower and lower, you know, in her stew and soften the soil, get to rocky soil, okay? And what happens is then she goes and visits the station. She says, I walked on the property and I felt the Holy Spirit just come all over me and said, this is your calling. Gulp. So what happens is that she then starts to get in it. They put a few $1 million into the deal, and she's losing money for 3 years and struggling, and they're putting more money in to try to build this conservative cable station. And what happens is that one of the board members says, hey, Rush Limbaugh's on TV. He's a great conservative guy. We need to put him on our station. And she said, yeah, maybe, sure, why not? So she goes to the producers of Rush Limbaugh, and they said, well, we'll consider it. It's on another station already in Minneapolis, but let's do this. I'll tell you what. We'll let you have Rush Limbaugh if you'll take Jerry Springer also. And she said, oh, no, I can't do that. No way. That's just not going to work, you know. And some of her board said, oh, why not? You know what I mean? We'll put them on at 2 in the morning or something like that. And so anyway, she wrestles with it, prays and seeks God, never gets an answer in her mind anyway. I'm not sure how, whether she was in rocky or thorny soil there. The point is that she finally decides just on her own, I'm going to do it and give it a risk and a try. And again, I'll put it on at 4 in the morning. And so what happens is that she puts on Rush Limbaugh. Things start to change, you know what I mean? And within a couple of weeks, after doing this, she gets the Holy Spirit to give her something, a vision of an idea she should do. So on Jerry Springer's show, she strings across the bottom quotes that say, if you're in need and you need counseling, you need help, you know, call these numbers. She had ministries on call ready to receive their calls. 30,000 people a month coming to Christ through a television show. How about that? Is that amazing? Within three or four more years, they built the station up so much that the board members said, we can't hold on to this. We've got to take the money people are offering. They sold it for $55 million. She walked away with some change from that. That's what I call good soil, right? That's good soil. So here's just a few other examples. Nike was Bill Bowerman, who was the track coach at the University of Oregon. Bill Bowerman struggled with his athletes. He was one of the great track and field coaches in the United States at the University of Oregon, but he struggled with guys getting shin splints and all kinds of, you know, leg pulls, groin pulls, all this kind of stuff. And he really thought the problem was the shoes. And so he came up with this idea of a softer shoe. In fact, he had a waffle iron at home, and he had some other foam substance he would use trying to put a... Anyway, he would go to people and talk to them about it, and he would go to manufacturers. They say, what a dumb idea, too expensive, never really worked, you know. So he finally gave up on the idea, but then one day he was witnessing to his athletes before a big meet, and half the kids were out, and he said, hey, we need to run the race to win. What is that scripture? Is it in somewhere in Matthew? I've been able to quote it other times, but right now it doesn't come to me. But we need to run the race to win, just as Christ was talking about. So he's encouraging them. He's driving home. He feels the power of God come over him and say, hey, go back to the kitchen table and make that shoe again. So he goes back and he does it. And he tapes it all up, takes it out to some of his athletes, and they start running in this one pair of shoes with tape all around it, you know, rubbery sole and all this kind of thing. And they said, this is great. We could, you know, we could really do better on this kind of shoe. When I was a kid, track shoes were like running in slippers with spikes on them. That's how bad they were. There was no real ankle support either and that kind of thing. But they never had a shoe that was light enough, and that's what this allowed for. So anyway, he ends up trying to develop this more, and then Phil Knight, one of his milers, had gone to Stanford to get his MBA and came back and said, Bill, let's try to take this shoe to the market. We can't find a manufacturer in the United States. We'll find one in Japan where it was cheaper to make. And so what ends up happening is they go around with their pickup truck selling these shoes out of the pickup truck. Now it's a multi-billion dollar company, and Phil Knight is still running it. Bill Bowerman passed away about 3 years ago, but he gives God the credit. Phil Knight may not, because he's so into the world. Howard Schultz was a young man in Brooklyn, New York, who sold these coffee makers from a company in Sweden, and he'd sell them to different department stores, and he found this one group of guys in Seattle. He was amazed at them. They were selling more coffee urns and all this kind of thing from Sweden that he was selling to them than anybody else, than Macy's or anybody else. That little company was called Starbucks. Now, they didn't do anything but brew coffee, roast coffee, rather. They didn't provide you a cup of coffee, but they had three locations in Seattle, and they were importing, bringing in coffee, and roasting it. So he says, look, guys, he has a vision, a leading of God, to go work for them, to be their marketing manager. And they say, fine, come on board, you know, and he does it. And so he goes to a conference in Italy and sees in Milan, in Italy, all these little coffee shops and all these people just having the greatest time over a cup of coffee. And he's inspired with another vision. So he goes back to the guys in Seattle and says, we need to open a coffee shop besides just sell roasted coffee. They said, no way, we're not going to do that. Finally, within 6 or 8 months, they say, okay, take a corner of this other shop over here and see what you can do with it. Well, it turns out pretty good, but they said, we're still not going to do that coffee shop stuff idea you got. So he leaves the company, ends up getting a lawyer that helps him with some capital, and they all start three little shops, and then finally the roaster guy say, hey, we'll sell you the company called Starbucks if you can get the capital. So he does, and of course he got more capital. But I mean, he talks about his come to Jesus meeting when his father-in-law, who came from Ohio, said, when are you going to give up on that little coffee shop idea? Because I don't think it's going to ever make it. You know what I mean? And he says, that was my come to Jesus meeting. You know, and he grew up in a Jewish home. The point still is that God is using people. Southwest Airlines, one last story, and then we'll wrap up here. Southwest Airlines was started by a guy named Herb Kelleher, who was at a meeting at the airport in San Antonio and so frustrated with the airlines just to get from San Antonio to Dallas and Houston and other places in Texas. It was a pain, and you had to pay $300, you know, too high a fare and all this kind of stuff. And he and this other attorney said, let's start an airline ourselves. And they wrote it out loud on a paper napkin. And this is the guy that he built. Herb Kelleher is an attorney. Well, so they do. They file for a license in the state of Texas, an interstate airline. And they, what happens immediately? Braniff, and I think it was United Airlines, immediately threw a bunch of lawyers at him to try to keep him from doing any good. And so what happens is the whole case ends up going all the way to the Supreme Court over 5 years. And Herb and other people have put a ton of money into this thing. Now it's not just an interstate airline. It was going to have to be more, you know, to justify the economics of all of this. But Herb won't let go. He's in thorny, tough, rocky soil. He won't let go. But here's the secret that God knew. How would God call a man to start an airline who's an attorney? I mean, that would be one of the last people I would pick. How about you? Well, it turns out that Herb, as a young man growing up in New Jersey, had worked as an intern to the Supreme Court of the United States, and that's where the case went. So he had the advantage over the big airlines, and they finally got it through, and that was the beginning. And he did a phenomenal job. He writes about all this in his book. God is working through people. God, the Holy Spirit, Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, praiseworthy, think on these things. Don't let the junk that keeps coming against you keep trying to penetrate your soul and limit you and limit what you're doing. Be open to the leading of God. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Thank you. Well, this is John Beaner again. You've been listening to the presentation I made to the Jacksonville Business Fellowship about the new book that I've written called The Untold Secret That Creates True Wealth. Again, this book highlights the kingdom of God story that Jesus shares in the New Testament, repeated three times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's why I call it the most profound message that he shares in the New Testament, certainly the most profound parable anyway shared by Jesus. Again, that we have to go through the beaten down path, the rocky soil, thorny soil, and good soil to hear and receive the visions and the seed visions that God places in our soul, our mind, our intellect, and our personality. And if we are beaten down, we're not going to hear those things. We're not going to receive them as well, or be in doubt or fear. Rocky soil, we're good for a while. We try it, but then we say, I can't do this. This isn't good enough. Thorny soil, rough times, the cares of the world come against us, and finally get to good soil. Not everyone goes through all those stages, but the point of God's making there is how receptive you are. But anyway, thank you so much for listening again. This is John Beaner with Wise Counsel. You've been listening to the Marketplace Witness Show. And until next Saturday, thanks for joining us. Have a great week.